to kick off the new year, 23 states and Washington, D.C. increased their minimum wages. In some cases, that was because of new laws on the books. In others, it was because of cost of living adjustments included in existing laws. Wisconsin was not one of those states. That leaves the minimum wage at $7.25 an hour for adults who are considered non-tipped employees. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the minimum wage in Wisconsin should go up? Why or why not? If you're an employer, how would an increased minimum wage affect you, if at all? If you work or have worked at minimum wage, how much would an increase help you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tim Smeeting is the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison. He worked as the director of the Institute for Research on Poverty. Tim, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be with you.
Can you paint for us a picture of how minimum wage works in the country? We have this U.S. law, and then states do their own thing.
Yes. Minimum wages are set at the federal level, but then states are free to do as they see fit. And we haven't had an increase in the federal minimum wage, although most states, 30 or 31 of them, have increased their own minimum wages. Within some states, certain areas or cities have higher minimum wages too. Now, Wisconsin doesn't allow sub-state minimums. In other words, you can't pay people more. You can't have a higher minimum wage, let's say, in Madison or Milwaukee than in Bayfield. And we haven't increased our minimum wage since the feds increased theirs. So we're a little bit behind here. The interesting thing this year, one of the most interesting things is what you mentioned, the inflation adjustments. 15 states have substantially higher minimum wages because they took into account the inflation that workers and families felt last year. So that's kind of new and that's kind of big. We have a strong labor market, and that makes a difference in most places. But even then, the minimum wage is going to have a strong effect on 8 or 9 million workers. Even if people living in cities say, oh, well, you know, no one works for that wage anymore. Well, people do work for that wage anymore in some places. And increasing the minimum wage is a signal to potential workers that they're going to be able to earn more than they maybe thought they could, or that their wages won't fall below a certain level if they go to work. So I still think it's a worthwhile thing to do. And if people say, well, we're already paying more than that, then fine, why not do it?
Now, you in the past on our network have talked about, you know, what might be a reasonable minimum wage for Wisconsin. A lot of people who are advocating for increases are looking at a $15 mark. You say that might, at least as of a year ago or so, you said that might not be the right target for Wisconsin. What would you see as, you know, possible steps in increasing the minimum wage here in Wisconsin?
That's exactly right, Rob. I think $15 across the board is not wise in Wisconsin. If it turns out to be 15 because of market pressures in Madison or Milwaukee or other high-cost areas, fine. But I think we should look at something like $10 or $11. I mean, we have to look at Illinois. It's got $13. And Minnesota's at $10.60 plus more for larger employers. In fact, in the labor market is so strong in Minnesota that the average wage of their 10th percentile workers, in other words, the 10th worker from the bottom, is already $14 an hour. So increasing the minimum wage because of inflation in Illinois is going to affect maybe 4% of the workers. Increasing it to $13 in Illinois, I'm sorry, is going to affect 9%. Increasing it to $10.60 is going to affect 4% of the workers in Minnesota. So workers are affected. And if you're living on the border of either of those states, gee, $7.50 on this side, $13-$14 on that side, are you going to cross a bridge or a state line to go to work? I would think so. So it's even harder to hire workers at the minimum wage in Wisconsin if you're living near the border of the states that are paying much more.
Let's talk about minimum wage as a policy tool. What was the goal? What is the goal of establishing minimum wages and possibly increasing them from time to time?
Well, the goal is to make sure that people are paid at least some minimum that they're worth. People won't work at really low wages because it costs money to go to work and to get childcare and everything like that. But if you raise the wages, they're more willing to go to work. They're willing to work different hours and so on. So we all know that in most labor markets today, demand exceeds supply. There are some openings. But still, workers need the assurance that they're going to get paid at least the minimum amount. And that hasn't really reduced employment, as far as we know, in almost all cases we've looked at in the past, 4 or 5 years. So it doesn't discourage work. It sends a message that workers are important. And in a minute, if you want, we could also talk about a separate wage called the tippable minimum wage, which affects workers in the hospitality and restaurant industries. And in Wisconsin, it's $2.33 an hour, which is among the lowest in all the states. $2.33 an hour. A tippable wage in Illinois is $7.80 an hour. So that means it's the minimum you get even before you got tips. So if it's a really slow day or a bad day, you're going to at least get $7.80 an hour, plus some tips. So there are a number of different aspects to this that we could deal with.
Talking to Tim Smeeting from UW-Madison, professor of public affairs and economics there. Looking at minimum wage laws in Wisconsin at the national level and in states around the country. Wisconsin, one of the states still at the federal level of $7.25 an hour for non-tipped workers. While many states just this last few days have seen an increase in their minimum wage. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about minimum wage laws and what do you want to see happen? Do you like them where they are in Wisconsin? Do you want to see them increased? If you live in one of our neighboring states, are they higher minimum wage? What do you think about that? And hey, how about that separate tipped wage? Have you worked for that? What do you think? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tim, some people who talk about that, sometimes that $15 mark or talk about a living wage, talk about, okay, how much money would it take? What's the minimum wage it would take to keep someone out of poverty or have a livable wage? How do we calculate that sort of thing?
Well, that's a really interesting question. First of all, you should know that most minimum wages workers are over age 25, so it's not teenagers, and most of them are full-time workers as well. So the problem with the living wage is how many people are trying to live off that wage? $15 an hour, full-year full-time, that's $30,000 a year, will keep a family of three out of poverty according to the supplemental poverty measure, okay? And if you've got two workers, though, that would be, you'd make $60,000 a year, you'd be far above poverty. If you're trying to support a family of four or five on one $15 an hour job, you don't have enough. So that's part of the problem, because the minimum wages aren't family size adjusted and the living wage isn't either. So I always tell people the living wage, how many people have to live at this wage? How many people work in this household and how many hours? And then I can tell you whether it's adequate or not in terms of comparing it to a poverty measure.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Dean is with us in Cudahy. Dean, hi.
Hi, how you doing? I don't think you can live on anything less than $18 an hour. Apartment prices are up. If you expect children or young adults to move out of their parents' house, you cannot afford gas. You cannot afford insurance. You cannot afford food. You cannot afford anything of any kind of luxury or car payment on $10 an hour in Wisconsin. It's ridiculous. No way.
Dean, thanks for the call. And Tim, Dean doing something a little more complicated there, comparing the minimum wage to the cost of living.
No, he's no. Being out of poverty doesn't mean living comfortably. Mm-hmm. In fact, a wage that allows you to live comfortably, according to the Alice people who calculate budgets and things, would have to be a wage of around $20 or $25 an hour. And again, I'm with Dean. $18 an hour for one worker is not enough. But if one worker is working full-time at 15 and another one's working half-time at 15, you'll be above 18. But two workers also means you need more money for childcare, you need more money for transportation and everything. So I understand what Dean's saying, to live decently, to be able to afford a car, afford a house, to have a little bit of savings in case things go off the tracks. You need more than the minimum wage. It's just a starting point. And even more so, you need jobs that give you some sort of employment growth or a chance to move forward so that if you start at wage X, you can move up the wage Y, given good performance over a period of time. I mean, employers are wise in this now. Employers aren't doing exit interviews for people who are quitting. They're interviewing the workers they've got right now and saying, are you happy? How's things going? You know, I hope, you know, we're paying what we can. Is there anything else we can do for you? And so forth, because you want to hold on to workers. It is very expensive to have big worker turnover. So right now, workers are in a really good position because the demand for jobs far exceeds the supply of workers. And you have more choice and probably can do much better now than you could have 3 or 4 years ago.
Dean, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Tim Smeeting, Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison, looking at the minimum wage. Almost half U.S. states saw an increase this year. Wisconsin still at the federal baseline minimum wage. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions. What do you think the minimum wage should be increased to in Wisconsin, or should it hold steady as it is? Should different communities be able to have different minimum wage levels, maybe depending on their local cost of living? They can't do that right now under state law. Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Tim Smeeting, Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison, with us to talk about an increase in minimum wages after 23 states, not including Wisconsin, raised their state minimum wage at the beginning of the year. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see minimum wage look like in Wisconsin? What questions do you have for our guest? Call 800-642-1234. Go back to your calls now. Dennis is with us in Minocqua. Dennis, hi.
Hey, Rob. How are you this afternoon?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Good. Good. Real quick, I'm just curious to ask your guest, Tim. He indicated that there were literally thousands and thousands of people who are working under the minimum wage of $7.25, $7.50, whatever it is in Wisconsin. But in reality, there's hardly a store that you can enter that isn't offering on their doorstep $14, $15, $16 an hour, including, of course, totally unskilled labor, McDonald's, Quick Trip, blah, blah, blah. So I guess I'm wondering why people that are working currently up to $7.25, $50 minimum aren't simply picking up and heading over because the market is allowing a payment of $14 to $16 an hour. Why would they stay at a $7.50 an hour job? Thank you for your time, Rob.
Dennis, I'm with you. They're not staying in those jobs. They're moving. I mean, tippable wages are an issue in the restaurant industry, and it's hard. How many places, I know for a fact, in Madison, most places are only open 4 and 5, 4 days a week or 5 days a week, and only for dinner, and then only for limited hours, a lot of them, simply because they can't afford and find enough labor to work there and enough other employees like cooks and others. So the market does make a big effect. But people with tippable minimum wages of $2.33 an hour, some employers try and say, oh, the kitchen staff is part of the tippable, even though they're not serving food. The guys who are washing the dishes, they're part of the tippable group too. So they get $2.33 an hour. Plus tips, and you share some tips, but tip sharing is supposed to come up to $7.25 an hour on average. But if it doesn't, it doesn't. So, I see those same signs that you see. And, you know, I don't know how many women want to work the swing shift or the midnight shift at Quick Trip where you can make $16 an hour. But sometimes the people who come in may not be the kindest people. And you know, and I know that in industries that are paying those higher wages, they're monitoring productivity and performance. There's, you know, maybe just way it should be, but I'm just saying it's a fact that employers are looking at productivity and output and ability to get the jobs done and so forth. Look at supermarkets. How many times have you been to a supermarket lately where there are two or three lines that actually have tellers in them, and those lines are on the block, and mainly what you do is you go check your own groceries out by going to a machine. That's the way that employers adjust for higher wages. And all of these probably making more than minimum wage. So I just think that if you want to compete with other states and that raising that minimum wage isn't going to hurt, it's probably going to help you. It's going to send a signal to people who aren't working that maybe working conditions and wages are better than you thought. Maybe you ought to look again at a job. So I'm not arguing with you, Dennis. And from where I sit, I don't know how it is in Minocqua, but from where I sit, I see those same signs, and they're good. Of course, rents are high. They may not include health insurance, which is really expensive. Childcare costs are high. In fact, that's a two-sided edge. So those care workers don't make a lot of money, but the more they make, the more that the employer has to charge you to use childcare or elder care. So and the more you need to make, therefore, to afford it. So it's a two-sided sword there, too.
Dennis, thanks for the call. And Tim, I mean, this last year and a half or so, this is kind of a weird time for the labor market, right? I can't remember a comparable period in my lifespan, as long as it may be.
It's weird, but it's not going away. If you look, there was a report last week from Brookings of, let's say, look at our state of Wisconsin. The only way we gained population was through immigration. People who moved in here. The deaths exceeded births in our state. We're very close to the same. So if you don't have population growth, and even if you have young babies, it takes a while for them to grow up and be workers, you know, you end up with unemployment rates that are 2 and 3% with very few workers on the sidelines. There are a few, but not a lot. Some of them for health-related reasons. So this is not going away. This is not a one-time sort of thing. And what employers are looking at, of course, is robotics and other technological aids. So they need fewer workers. Look at farms and automatic milking machines and all sorts of other, seed, things that work on crops that, lay seeds down and cultivate and whatever. They're run by robots. That's because workers are really expensive and machinery might be able to provide an equally productive output for a lower cost.
Let's go back to our callers. Tom joins us now in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I'd like to ask your guest, to my knowledge, the country of Sweden eliminated their minimum wage, and yet people there seem to have competitive living wages. Does he know how that happens?
Tom, thanks. Sure. Go ahead, Tim. Yeah.
Sure, they pay you those wages. They have wage setting and wage bargaining. They do have some minimum wages. They don't want to take advantage of immigrants. Most of their immigrants are refugees and asylum seekers. But and they also, their health care, it's quote free unquote. It's covered through a value added tax. It's not charged to the employer, and they have good social retirement too, and they have highly subsidized child care. So all of those things, make it easier to work at a little bit lower wages, but their wages are generally fairly high at the bottom. In most of the Europe, you're not all in unions, quote unquote, but there's central wage bargaining and central wage setting. So if you're paying one group of employees X, that spreads to other similar groups of employees. So, for a long time, they've had better working conditions and higher wages and more equal wages. Some of the countries have laws, like in Germany, that the CEO of a company can't make more than some multiple of what the lowest paid worker makes. But those labor markets are much more managed than ours. Work conditions are much better enforced and so forth and so on. And the interesting issue for us is going to be, we have about 2 million people in this country who are either have somehow been admitted or are looking for work. Many of them are asylum seekers. Others are, some of them may be, undocumented and whatever. Those people come here to work and they want to work. So how much should we pay them? Should we pay them less because they happen to be from Nicaragua or Mexico or Afghanistan or Cuba than we pay others? That's a really important question. And if we have a minimum wage and we enforce it, then they'll get paid something worth their while for working too.
Tom, thanks for the call. And Tim, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Rob. This was more interesting than the last few times we've discussed this. The labor market's hot. Inflation's up. The minimum wage seems to be helping, still be helping people in a lot of places, except for us, except for Wisconsin.
That's Tim Smeeting, the Lee Rainwater Distinguished Professor of Public Affairs and Economics at UW-Madison, with us today to talk about minimum wage increases in many states around the U.S. and the impact of increasing wages. Not Wisconsin, as Tim just mentioned, not among those states raising the minimum wage this year.